I just wanted to say thank you so much for being a part of what God's doing. Portland Christian Center, God is on the move. We had baptisms last Sunday. It was absolutely amazing. We had a mom and a son get saved in the first service and get baptized immediately right after. Just incredible, incredible what God's doing. And man, I just can't get, you know, sisterhood, my wife, amazing, Pastor Mael, you did such a great job. All the ladies, thank you for coming and serving. And I just got to say, you know, I had a couple men come up to me and say, hey, when are the men doing something? You know, I hear a lot about sisterhood. And I say, you know what? Funny you should ask. Next Sunday at 1 o'clock, we're going to watch the Seahawks beat the 49ers in the youth room, men. So, men, that's a legit announcement in the youth room. We have food provided. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we're going to pray that the Seahawks don't lose by a lot. Anyways, so as we get ready to get into our sermon this morning, I felt like it would be great to have some help today. So I invited another pastor to come up who's going to help me. His name is Pastor Tate. Would you welcome Pastor Tate? And Tate, hold on real quick. Tate, how old are you?
I'm 9 years old and I'm not going to grow up.
And he's not going to grow up. That's right. We're all loving that. So Tate, some people are brand new to our church and they don't know about what happened to our building while we're in here. Will you help them understand why we're here?
When a pipe burst in Portland, we tore everything out. We turned down mats. We turned down everything. And we're building on faith right here. And the time is now.
Yeah. Thank you, Tate. The time is now. Very good. Thank you. We're building on faith, and our time is now. And I just got to be honest with you, man. Just hearing Tate encourages me. But so many of you have been giving to our church and sacrificing, not just with your finances, but time and serving and building. And PCC has been around for 100 years. And I believe that PCC has a rich history, but I also believe God's not done with PCC, that our best days are still in front of us because we have kids like Tate and many other kids that need to hear the gospel. That, right? We're building on faith. And so to prepare for that, we've been in a series called The Treasure Principle. And if you still haven't got that book, I would encourage you. We have a few left in the lobby. We'd love to get those for you. But really, The Treasure Principle is all about unlocking the joy of giving. That when you truly understand what God's done in our lives, He unlocks giving to be joyful. The Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. So something real important right out of the gate as we're getting started, especially if you're brand new with us, you'll be like, man, I came to church and the pastor's talking about money. What in the world? And we up front want to say, absolutely. If 50% of Jesus' parables dealt with riches and treasures, we've got a lot of work to do. Why did Jesus talk about that so much? Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Isn't it interesting? The reason people have so much of a hard time when we talk about finances is because you're actually getting to the heart of the issue, isn't it? There's something about our lives where when someone says give, we want to say, oh, excuse me, I don't think so. That's mine. But God says, actually, everything belongs to me. And so we've been on this journey of unlocking the joy of giving because there's still a lot of people that think, man, I just don't find joy in it. Well, I'm praying today would be a day that God would open your heart to realize how much fun it is to give, how much joy there is to giving. There's so many people in the congregation I've been talking to that they've been preparing for giving that are just filled with joy. I can't believe I get to give to this. I can't believe I get to be a part of this. Why? Because God's done something in their lives. And that's my prayer for you this morning is that every single person, no one would walk out of here not thinking, man, I can't believe I get to do this. I can't believe I get to be a part of something big like this, something way bigger than anything I could do on my own. So as we go through, we're in week number 5. I just want to do a brief review of the 4 other keys that we've already talked about, keys that unlock joy. The first one is it all belongs to God. I'm his money manager. Can I get a yeah?
Yeah.
Very good. Hey, that felt good. Thank you. You guys are awake. Let's go. Isn't that true? Psalms 24 says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Week number 2, we talked about my heart always goes where I put my money. No. Where I put what? Can I get an oh yeah? Oh, yeah. Ah, there you go. We're getting better. All right. Week 3. Heaven, not this fallen earth, is my home. Can I get a booyah? Sorry, I won't go any further. It's like, oh, the youth pastor Nate's coming out again. Okay, I'll calm down. But I do get a little excited about that. Anybody else excited that one day we'll be in heaven with Jesus forever? In eternity? Come on, somebody. And then week 4, we talked about with my wife and I did this last week. Live for the line, not the dot. Live for the line, not the dot. Well, today we're going to pick up in the book of 1 Timothy. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. And in case you're wondering, Paul is the author and he's writing to Timothy. Paul is someone who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament and he believes in Timothy. And in fact, if you listen to a lot of the instruction he gives to Timothy, it's pretty powerful. And he does something for Timothy that if I'm a young, which hopefully I'm 42, I feel like I'm still pretty young. I don't know. But he gives Timothy this instruction of how to say something. And I don't know about you, but when you read this, this might feel a little uncomfortable for a young pastor to say. Here's what he says. 1 Timothy 6:17, he says, command. He doesn't say ask. He doesn't say suggest. He says command. Okay, so he says command. Those who are rich in this present world, not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. So what's he supposed to do? Command them. Be rich in generous living. And then Paul doubles down again. Look what he says, 18. Command. Tell them to do it again. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. So Paul is giving strict orders to Timothy. Don't be bashful. Don't be silent. Command them to do this and talk about money. Boy, that isn't very politically correct, is it? I mean, man, calm down, Paul. What are you doing? But isn't it amazing how the gospel confronts every idol, even money? Paul goes right after it. And he says this, and this way they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. I'm going to put a phrase up on the screen. I want you to repeat this after me. The life that is truly life. That's what God wants for you. That's what Paul wants for you. But in order to receive it, you got to give something away. Right. What? Talk about an unfair trade. Wait. You're saying I got to give something away to get it? That doesn't actually make sense, does it? That's why the kingdom of God is an upside down kingdom. The greatest serve. The biggest are last. If you want to be great, be a servant of all. If you want to receive treasures in heaven, you are entrusted with riches here on earth to give away and be a blessing. And as you're listening to this, there's this fascinating word. I love this word, and maybe you've heard this around it. There's a Greek word called zoe. Say zoe. Zoe. Turn your neighbor and say zoe. Hold it out a little bit. Hold it out. I saw some people kissing. Hey, that's not right now, guys. Come on, husbands and wives. Hold it out, all right? Zoe doesn't mean kiss, although that is the good life for husbands and wives. Come on. It's a Greek word for life used multiple times in the Bible. It means eternal life or the God kind of life. The rich, abundant, divine nature of God, his fullness of love, joy, power, and ability. What is Paul talking about? He's saying that if you start living your life generously, if you're rich in not just giving your money away, but giving your time, your skills, and giving it unto God, guess what's going to happen? You are not only going to experience the good life in eternity, you are going to experience the good life today. Does anybody else want more joy? Some of you didn't raise your hand. I'll pray for you later. Anybody else want joy? Anybody? Like if joy was a rose, would you accept this rose? For reals, God's saying, I will give you joy. I will give you peace. I will help you with love. I will give you the fullness of all that I have for you in me. But it starts with giving. Doesn't always feel right, does it? It starts with letting go. And it's fascinating that many people don't understand this when they said, I prayed the prayer, Jesus, I love you, I brought over sins, I follow you all the days of my life, amen. What we don't recognize is that when Jesus died for you, you are now laying down your life and you're taking up his. You're now following him, not your own way. That's why we give. Why? Because God gave first. You can never outgive God. He is the first and the last. He's the greatest giver the universe has ever seen. And if you want to become more like Jesus, you will begin to give things away. And when you do, the promise is life everlasting and freedom and life today. I want to read the verse for you one more time. Verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for someone else's enjoyment. Do you know God wants you to enjoy your life? Do you know God wants you to experience freedom and love and life and to be unburdened by what the world says you have to experience joy? That's the big problem with the American dream, is that you have to have a giant house, 2 cars, 2.5 pets, 4.3 kids, going on vacations every single year, 3 times to Hawaii, 4 times to Vegas, and that everything, if that is your life, you have it made. And what we see is people going after that, they are burdened heavier and heavier by the yoke and weight of the world. And what Jesus is trying to say, if you will throw that off, your life will get lighter. You will get freer. Joy will come back in your life. And people are saying, I want this, this, this. God said, you don't even need that because your treasure is not here. It's in eternity. There was this show on the channel PBS. Remember PBS? It's still going. Public. Oh, man, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I asked some teenagers about that, and they had no idea what that was. The average American, this is on this show, this is what they said. They ran a special called Affluenza, the problem with American culture. And the average American shops 6 hours per week while spending 45 minutes playing with his or her child per week. Let me read that to you one more time. The average American shops 6 hours per week while spending 45 minutes playing with his or her child per week. You see, the problem that you and I have, the reason giving is not a joy, is because we believe the stuff that we accumulate will make us joyful. Have you ever gone to the mall and bought a brand new pair of shoes or a new shirt, put it in your closet, and thought, I really didn't like it that much? And then because you have so many shoes, you gotta buy racks of shoe stuff to store your shoes. Or you get a new shirt and you run out of hangers. You don't get rid of the old clothes. What do? You buy more hangers. We have a store called the Container Store. We have so many things that are adding up, and we think it will bring joy, but if you're like me, you leave empty. You feel the void. It's like, oh, I gotta have the next thing. I'm doing great. I'm happy. But then I go through the mall and I see something I gotta have. And I just know, oh, come on, I'm not the only one that's ever thought that. If I just had this house, if I just had this spouse, if I just had these kids, if I just had this education, if I just had that, this, and you can fill in that line with whatever you've believed. And what the treasure principle does is it unlocks you from believing, if I just get enough of the right things, I'll finally be happy. And what we learn, and this is key number 5, is giving is the only antidote to materialism. Giving is the only antidote to materialism. So how do I break free? I give. How do I break from materialism? I give, but Here's the honest truth. I've heard messages like this, like give, and it doesn't always hit me because I think sometimes I just be like, hey, just give and walk away, it's easy, but we don't internalize it long enough to help us take a few necessary steps before we give. And that's the first thing, and here's the problem that most of us struggle with, and I'll be the first one to raise my hand. The struggle with this message, the struggle with living this out is, number one, I have to admit it's a problem. I have to admit I have a problem. My wife, unfortunately, almost has to always drag me to go to the doctor. Why? Because I'm not sick. But you have 104-point temperature. I'm not sick. You're sweating. You're dizzy. You're throwing up. Go to the doctor. I'm fine. Ugh. Anybody else like that? I have a struggle. Oh, come on, some of you are looking at your husbands right now. It is just a struggle for all of us to admit, I may, perhaps, I'll give you just a perhaps, have an issue with materialism. Just maybe. But don't look at my Amazon account. Don't follow me to Target. Don't, you know, go to the grocery store with me. Just, it's not a problem, okay? I've got it under control. You see, what we don't recognize is if we can't admit it or bring it to the light, how can Jesus actually heal it? How would he set you free if you're like, no, I'm good. I'm good. Admitting there's a problem is our first step. Because the truth is, all of us have a tendency to think this or that thing will fulfill the heart, what I have in my life. But the problem with stuff is not the problem. It's what stuff does to us. That's the problem. Whenever you get something, your life starts gravitating around it. And there's a pull, isn't there? I want to tell you a story about one of my friends. We worked together in Tacoma. And we shared, he was on the other side of a cubicle. And I'd say hi to him all the time. And one time I came in and he just had this faraway look in his eye. And he was just glowing. And he said, Nate, I've decided I'm going to get a hot tub. I'm like, okay. And he's like, no, I'm serious. I've always wanted, I'm so excited, we are going to get a hot tub. And he started bringing in magazines of spas, different styles, 4-person, 2-person, 6-person. Do you know they have 12-person hot tubs with jets that you can swim? I never knew, so this guy hadn't learned more about, isn't it funny when you love something, you start learning about it? And then he would just sometimes be staring off into the window. I'd be like, hey, buddy, what's going on? I'm just thinking about my hot tub. He goes, Nate, I'll be able to do my devotions in the hot tub in the morning. My God time will be better than, he had this whole thing figured out. This hot tub will be the best thing ever. And he got so excited about it, he actually had a concrete slab poured in his backyard before he got a hot tub. He paid for someone else to get the electrical hooked up just in case he had enough money to get a hot tub. Is there anything wrong with hot tubs? No, I love them too. But this guy had fallen in love with hot tubs. So I remember this. I remember the day I came into the office. He goes, Nate, you're not going to believe this. Somebody gave me a hot tub. I said, what? He goes, you're not going to believe it. He came over, he installed it, and four guys, and I was in the hot tub this morning. Hallelujah. Did my quiet time. It was the best ever. And I'm thinking, wow, God answered your prayers. That's amazing. 5 days later, the electrical element that turns the hot tub on went out. $500. So he's like, oh, free. Now it's $500. Not so bad. 1 week later, pump goes out. $750. I'm sorry, $700. $700. Exactly, $700. What? That's not still not too bad, right? We're only at $1,200. 1 more week goes by. The hot tub is leaking. There's a crack in the bottom of the hot tub. $1,200. He still pays to get it fixed. 1 more week goes by. And the entire system underneath it goes out. It's a $2,000 fix. And at that point, he threw in the towel and said, that's it. I am done. No more hot tub for me. His dreams were dashed and crushed. Was he still alive? And I remember thinking about this poor man who had put all of his hopes, all of his joy around fiberglass and water. He dreamed about it. He thought about it. And I want us, before we send too much judgment towards this poor person, what is it that has your heart? What is it that has my heart? What is it that even right now, if I was to say, hey, what is something you're really hoping for and you want right now, you're instantly there and you start dreaming and thinking about it. Because here's the problem with stuff, is it becomes the center of our lives. But here's what giving does. Giving shifts our center of gravity from earth to heaven. Giving will make your heart be broken free from, I gotta have this, to I'm gonna give that. Stuff's never the problem. It's what stuff does to our hearts is the problem. And there's a story about a man in the Bible. I'm sure you've heard of him. His name's Moses. I found a picture of him. You know, this is from, a movie. Come on, we all love Charlton Heston. Again, I'm sorry, students. I know this is beyond you. But I grew up watching Charlton Heston part the Red Sea all the time. But Moses did some pretty cool things, didn't he? Yeah. He delivered the Israelites. He parted the Red Sea. He helped with the Ten Commandments. He also found the religious community of Israel. He interpreted the covenant. Moses was awesome. Anybody else think Moses was a pretty cool dude? He did some great things. And I just had never seen this before, but Moses had every reason not to be the deliverer God wanted him to be. He was raised in a palace. He had all of Pharaoh's riches at his disposal. He was the adopted son of one of his daughters, Pharaoh's daughters. He was raised with wealth and everything at his disposal. And yet, look at what Hebrews 11 says about Moses. This is so fascinating. It says, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of what? It says that he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his what? By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. This is so powerful. He left Egypt for something he could not see. Friends, listen to me. God is asking you to leave the Egypts of your life for something greater that you cannot see today. There is so much joy that will unlock your heart and my heart if we will get past the fact that I don't have to feel good to give. The joy actually comes after I do it. Because Moses, when he fled, guess what his reward was? I get to meet my future wife, but now I'm going to work for my father-in-law in the wilderness, and I go from a palace to sheep. Nah. Talk about a trade down. Oftentimes when you give, something will break. And it's usually a test of why you gave. God will do something great in your life. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is, do I obey just when I feel like it? Do we obey when we feel like it? Because if I admit that I have a problem with materialism, I will not always feel like I want to be generous. No matter what it is. My time, oh, do not disturb 105 when I watch the Seahawks. I'm sorry, the game's on. Oh, no, don't disturb me. I'm going shopping at the mall. Don't disturb me with my time. But what happens if God says, actually, I want to give you some of your time away to something else? Will I get it back? Nope. You do realize time is the most precious commodity you actually have. It's the one thing everyone has, and you can't make more of it. Time. What if God's saying, I want you to give some of your time? Some of you are amazingly gifted. What if God's saying, I want you to give some of your gifts to the kingdom? But I want to get paid for it. God will bless you. What if he's saying, hey, I want you to give sacrificially, financially? Ooh, Pastor Nate, now you crossed the line. You see, in order to find joy, we have to do what Moses did, and this is number two. We've got to pray. Yeah. Admit we have a problem, but we've got to start praying. God, I am a sinner. I am selfish. I am materialistic. Okay, am I the only one that feels like that sometimes? I am someone who needs my heart free because the truth is I worry about me a lot. I spend a lot of my time worried about me. And yet God is saying, I have Zoe waiting for you. The good life, the true life, the abundant life, not burdened by the weight of this world, but free, because God is saying, if you live lightly, because this world is not your home, you're here for eternity. Moses, did you know that he was somebody that the Bible says that he was able to talk to God as a friend would talk to another friend? He had such a close, intimate relationship with God that his face would literally glow and light up. He was the original glow worm. And they would put a veil over him because he was so in love with God. And because he had such a connection with God, he gave it away. He gave the palace away. Because he knew obeying God is always better than going my own way. Look at what Hebrews 11:26 says. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead. What are you looking at? To his reward, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Because he saw Christ who is invisible. So if we're going to break free, of materialism, giving is the only antidote to materialism. But in order to break free, the truth is, don't we have to admit we got a problem? Stay with me on that. Next, the truth is, we got to pray. Spend more time praying with God and watch what he'll do. He'll shift your heart, and he'll help you give and break free of materialism. That's what God has for you and for me. And as I was studying this key, I looked up the definition of antidote. And because, number one, I wanted to make sure I gave you the right answer. But what surprised me was, in the definition example, it said that a puffer fish has no known antidote for the poison inside its body. And I don't know about you, but I'm just one of those people that when I see something that weird, that obscure, I've got to study. Anybody else like that? Like, you just start studying. Like, I got to know, why are we talking about pufferfish? So I found out that a pufferfish has enough poison inside of its little body to kill 30 adult people. Watch where you're swimming next summer, okay? So what happens is if there's danger, obviously it goes, fills up with water, and all those little spikes are filled with toxins that if you touch it, it can kill you. And the worst part is there is no known antidote. However, if you were to take a pufferfish and get it out of the water, when it expands and goes back down, it dies instantly. Why does it die? Because it cannot handle that amount of oxygen. I think the same is true about materialism. When you get it out of the deep secrets and surfaces of your life and you bring it to the air, which is who Jesus is, He is the wind of God. Did you know that in Hebrew, the word for the Holy Spirit is ruach, the wind of God, the breath of God. He will help kill materialism that's crept into every part of your life where you're, even as I'm listening to this sermon, you're like, Pastor Nate, Christmas is coming. I know. My son has given me lots of lists, and I've called Santa a few times. And yet, even with all of that coming, God is saying, this is number three, give. Give. Because if you give, giving is the only antidote to materialism. Giving is the only antidote to materialism. Because when you give, God will unlock your heart. Sisterhood had an amazing conference this weekend, and I'm so grateful that they left these beautiful flowers up here. Thank you, ladies. And what I have found oftentimes is God will put something in your life like a flower, and He will say, hey, sorry, camera. I love you, babe. Thank you. I got to give you a kiss now.
Okay. Good job.
Woo! Anyways, sorry, had to do that. How many of you know what will happen if I hold on to this flower for very long? What's it gonna do? It's gonna die. We live for the dot too often, don't we? When God says live for the line. And just like this flower, when I hold on to it, what's gonna happen? It's gonna die. But when I give it away, God unlocks our hearts. I have so much more joy. And it doesn't just impact me, but I believe it changes the world. And it changes our church. Some of you have been giving for years and years and years, and I want to show you a video of a woman's life who has been changed here at Portland Christian Center. Don't worry, I can't hear it either. We'll play it again. Anyways, I will show you another video in just a moment once we get a second, if we could turn the lights back on when they're ready. The video worked first service, it'll work again, but that's Winifred. And Winifred, she's right over there. Hi, Winifred, we love you. And I just got word, it's ready to play. Here we go.
My name is Winifred Dowdy, and I've been coming to Portland Christian Center for the last 2.5 years. The first Sunday I came to church was on an Easter holiday, and I didn't know nobody because I knew the church through Facebook. And I decided to come, and that first day, there was this lady who sat next to me, and she, with the agape love, she welcomed me to the church. And when she realized I was new, she was very much welcoming to be sitting next to me every other Sunday, and that encouraged me so much. I had a long time without going to church, and when I saw it, it was like when David in the Bible said, as I was happy when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. That's how I felt when I decided to come to Portland Christian Center. And when I got here, it didn't disappoint me. What they walk the talk. When they say they present up, they do it wholeheartedly. When they say people are the price, you feel it. And I can testify, I feel at home at Portland Christian Center. My name is Winfred, and Portland Christian Center is on.
Yeah. We love you, Winfred. It's awesome. I love what she said, people are the prize. And you know what she also said that I thought was so powerful, is we walk the talk. And as you know, your pastor here, this Building on Faith campaign, I am not asking anybody here to do something that we're not willing to do. Mael and I have been praying these last few weeks leading up to next Sunday, November 17th, is Commitment Sunday, and we're praying every person that you would pray and ask, Lord, what do you want to give? What do you want to do through me? And so, to be honest, we've been wrestling with it like I'm sure a lot of you have. God, what do you want us to give? What do you want us to do? And it's been hard. And so we began to pray and began to talk, and the Lord gave us the number. We agreed on the same number together, which, by the way, marriage tip, come to an agreement. Don't go outside of the other person, okay? Are we good? We don't want to have marriage counseling afterwards, okay? Let's all agree on that, okay? So we prayed about it. We came to the same number, and to be honest with you, it scared us. In fact, it still scares us because it's the biggest gift that we've ever given financially ever. We've never given this much to a campaign like this. So we're nervous, we're praying, and honestly, God, I'm not sure how you're going to do that. So this is last Thursday. I turned in our little pledge and turned into the staff and gave in, so it got tallied and put in the number. We're going to share that number in just a moment of how much we've already received so far in pledges. And that was a Thursday. Friday, I call, and many of you know this, we've had a lot of medical challenges in our family and like many people. And so I'm calling the hospital and the billing department because another bill's come through. I've got to move it onto a payment plan and we're trying to figure out how we're going to make that all work. And I call the guy, and he's talking to me, and he says, "Hey, have you guys filled out financial aid, you know, to get some help? Because you know, there's a lot of money." And I said, "Yeah, we have." And they actually turned us down already. And he said, "Are you sure?" And I said, "I would remember." And then you know how they do like those clicks on the keyboard? You can kind of da-da-da-da-da, and he goes, "Hold on a second." And so at that point, I'm like, oh, Lord, what was he going to say? He's like, you have just been approved for 60% off your total medical bill. To glory be God. And we're able to pay it off. We pledged on a Thursday. God showed up on a Friday. You're going to pledge in a couple weeks, and God's going to show up. Some of you are here like, Pastor Nate, I'm scared. Me too. But there's joy in my heart because I know my God's going to take care of me. And I know God's going to take care of you. And every person that's come to me that said, I'm going to give to Building on Faith campaign. I'm going to give for the next generation. I'm going to give for the 300,000 people that don't know Jesus in Portland. I'm going to give to make sure that Portland has a church that's going to shine bright for years and years to come. 100 years is not enough. We have more people to reach. Our assignment's not done. Amen, Portland Christian Center. God's going to use you. And over and over and over, as people have given, I've watched joy in their hearts. They're so excited. So as of today, We've already received a total of $888,000 towards the campaign. Isn't that amazing? I show you that to encourage you. And if you want to know the exact specifics, there's brochures in the back that we have three phases we're trying to reach to complete all the projects. But I just want to encourage somebody today. How big is our God? How big is our God? But in order for us to start giving, we have to make sure our hearts are right. We've got to break free of materialism. And how do we do that? Got to admit you have a problem. Start asking God and pray, and then obey. On your seats, there should be a card right in front of you. It's a pledge card. And my prayer is if you would stand with me, like I have everybody stand. And I want you to grab that card. And if you're married, I want you to hold it up with your spouse. And I want you to begin to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, repeat after me, say, Lord, what do you want to do through me? Lord, what do you want to do through me? Father, I pray for every person here this morning. As we approach November 17th, God, we believe that you are a miracle-working God. Lord, that pipe that burst, for some might feel like a setback, but it's actually a setup. You're setting us up for something greater. There are so many people that need you, Jesus. There are so many children that need to be discipled. There are so many adults that need to find freedom. There are so many students that are told lies at school every single day of the week, and they come to church to hear the gospel, to hear the truth. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would be light to this world. God, what do you want to do through me? Father, I pray for every person as we begin to pray. Lord, lead us. And I pray that our hearts would be unlocked, that we would give and not be held down by materialism any longer, but that our hearts would be free and we'd be full of joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello. Thank you for listening to today's podcast from Portland Christian Center. We're so glad you joined us. And before we wrap up, we want to give you one more opportunity to accept Jesus into your life. If you're ready to take that first step, please pray this with me. Lord Jesus, for too long, I've kept you out of my life. I acknowledge that I am a sinner and cannot save myself. No longer will I ignore the door when I hear you knocking. Thank you for coming to earth, bearing my sins on the cross, and offering me the gift of eternal life. Today, I surrender my life to you and trust you as my Lord and Savior. I believe you died for me and rose again on the third day. Please come into my heart, transform me, and guide me to live fully for you. I believe your words are true, and I put my faith in you. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, congratulations. Here at Portland Christian Center, we call that your best yes. We would love to connect with you and support you on your new journey. If you want to connect with us more and be part of our Portland Christian Center family, visit our website at pcctoday.com. That's pcctoday.com.